This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Ottorino Respighi had two primary qualities which set him apart from most of his contemporaries. The first was his fascination with Italy's musical past. Hardly anybody else was interested in 17th century Italian lute music when Respighi wrote his three suites of ancient airs and dances, which have become some of his most popular works. His other singular quality was his willingness to go completely over the top, throwing everything but the kitchen sink into a piece of music for effect. Though he was schooled in his native Bologna, Respighi began his professional career as an orchestra viola player in Russia, where he also had the opportunity to study with Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. Rimsky-Korsakov literally wrote the book on orchestral color, a book which is still a valuable tool for composers today. Respighi clearly learned his lessons well. After further studies in Berlin with Max Bruch, Respighi returned to Italy, where he was briefly a part of the League of Five, a group of radical Italian composers who were dedicated to, as they put it, the Risorgimento of Italian music, which from the end of the golden 18th century until today has been, with very few exceptions, depressed and circumscribed by commercialism and philistinism, end quote. These composers were basically reacting against the Italian obsession with opera, and that rustling you just heard was Giuseppe Verdi turning over in his grave. Respighi agreed with them up to a point. He did write several successful operas, but they also gave him the impetus to research the music that ended up in the ancient airs and dances, and to look around him and use the landscape of Rome for inspiration. Respighi wrote his suite The Fountains of Rome in 1915 and 1916, and followed it 8 years later with The Pines of Rome. Both suites were very successful and made him very rich, and he eventually completed the triptych with a third suite, Roman Festivals, in 1928. When the New York Philharmonic performed the American premiere of Pines of Rome in 1926, with Arturo Toscanini conducting, the composer wrote, "While in his preceding work, The Fountains of Rome, the composer sought to reproduce by means of tone an impression of nature. In Pines of Rome, he uses nature as a point of departure in order to recall memories and vision. The centuries-old trees which so characteristically dominate the Roman landscape become witnesses to the principal events in Roman life." End quote. Respighi also provided his own detailed descriptions of the four movements of the Pines of Rome. The suite opens in the pines of the Villa Borghese. Children are at play in the pine groves, dancing the Italian equivalent of Ring Around the Rosie. They mimic marching soldiers and battles. They twitter and shriek like swallows at evening, coming and going in swarms. Suddenly, the scene changes. To the pines near a catacomb. We see the shadows of the pines which overhang the entrance of a catacomb. From the depths rises a chant. Which echoes solemnly like a hymn. And then is mysteriously silenced. In the pines of the geniculum, there is a thrill in the air. The full moon reveals the profile of the pines of Gianicolo's hill. A nightingale sings. The suite ends with the pines of the Appian Way. Misty dawn on the Appian Way. The tragic country is guarded by solitary pines. Indistinctly, incessantly, the rhythm of unending steps. The poet has a fantastic vision of past glories. Trumpets blare, and the army of the consul bursts forth in the grandeur of a newly risen sun toward the sacred way. Mounting in triumph the Capitoline Hill. The song of the nightingale you heard at the end of the third movement, The Pines of the Geniculum, was one of the first appearances of electronics in an orchestration. In the score, Respighi specifies a particular recording of a nightingale. Legend has it that he made the recording himself, and to this day, the publisher supplies that particular recording with the score. Although the medium has changed through the years, from the original 78 RPM record to LP, cassette, compact disc, and now digital file. About Fountains of Rome, Respighi wrote, "In this symphonic poem, the composer has endeavored to give expression to the sentiments and visions suggested to him by four of Rome's fountains, contemplated at the hour when their characters are most in harmony with the surrounding landscape, or at which their beauty is most impressive to the observer." The first part of the poem, inspired by the fountain of Valle Giulia, depicts a pastoral landscape. Droves of cattle pass and disappear in the fresh, damp mists of the Roman dawn. A sudden, loud, and insistent blast of horns above the trills of the whole orchestra introduces the second part, the Triton Fountain. It is like a joyous call summoning troops of naiads and tritons who come running up pursuing each other and mingling in a frenzied dance between the jets of water. Next, there appears a solemn theme born on the undulations of the orchestra. It is the Fountain of Trevi at midday. The solemn theme, passing from the woodwind to the brass instruments, assumes a triumphal character. Trumpets peal. Across the radiant surface of the water, there passes Neptune's chariot. Drawn by seahorses and followed by a train of sirens and tritons. The procession vanishes while faint trumpet blasts resound in the distance. The fourth part, the fountain at the Villa Medici, is announced by a sad theme which rises above the subdued warbling. It is the nostalgic hour of sunset. The air is full of the sound of tolling bells, the twittering of birds, the rustling of leaves. Then all dies peacefully into the silence of the night. The Fountains of Rome and the Pines of Rome are two of the most famous symphonic landscapes in all of music, and their influence even extends into the world of film. John Williams used the finale of the Pines as his model for the music of the planet Krypton in his score for Superman. And the piece itself was used in Disney's Fantasia 2000, among others. For a composer who began his career looking to the past for inspiration, Respighi had a remarkable influence on music's future. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.